Good morning, Bay Ridge Christian Church. Let me ask you a question. How many have been driving, have driven down the road, and after driving for a while, you realize your mind wasn't on your driving, and you don't remember going the last couple miles? And luckily, you're on a road that's familiar to you. And usually it happens on a road that's familiar with you, And your mind is on something else. Well, you know, we could be like that in the kingdom of God also. And my word today is on, where is your focus? Where is your focus? Where is your attention? Where do you put your effort and your time in walking in the kingdom of God? We had a son, one of our sons, we still have a son, the gentleman plays the guitar up here. When he was young, 2 or 3 years old, Johnny had the habit of walking into walls, walking into doors, because he's always not paying attention where he was going. And we used to laugh at that, you know. But I find myself sometimes doing things similar, like driving down the highway, not paying attention where I'm going. And I just heard a gentleman talk about driving, that you need to give your full attention to your driving, especially today with the traffic and everything. And I catch myself sometimes thinking about other things, and I say, man. I also one time got a camera, bought a, when the VCR cameras came out first, I had this great big RCA thing, about that big, you know. And my son-in-law Mike worked at Circuit City, and when he went down, when he got down below $1,000, he said, "Now it's time to buy." Well, I went and bought this camera and read all the instructions, and it says, "Look into the viewfinder. The center, there's a little section in the viewfinder that is the focusing point of the camera. Wherever you focus that section at, that's where your focus will be." And I used to try to really work at that, because I hate when things are out of focus. And you know, when you focus on something way over there, things appear not in focus. So I had to really work at that. And I began to think about that the other day, that the whole world is around us. And we're focusing on something. Every day, you're focusing on something. You're focusing on your work, or your retirement, or with whatever you have, you're focusing on something. Some of us can smile at that. It's hard. I tell you, really, it's tough. But you're focusing on something. You're focusing on the honeydew list. And when you, how are you going to get past this? How are you going to do that? You're focusing on finance. You're focusing on whatever. God wants you to also focus on the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying you have to focus only on the kingdom of God. You got a good steak in front of you, you're focused on what it's going to taste like. You know, that's good. But the kingdom of God, sometimes we set things aside that are important in our lives. And to be successful in whatever you do, you have to apply yourself and not let outside things take away your focus. Good example is an athlete. Any athlete in any sport has to focus on his getting into shape, practicing. A runner runs. A golfer has fun. But you focus on things. You focus on whatever you're doing. And the same thing goes with the kingdom of God. Sometimes we get into a situation where we're almost forced to focus on something. Somebody in the family is really sick or has had an accident. We go to God and pray for them. We focus on that. But we have our daily walk also. And I'm talking about today about our focus on our daily walk. Now, I'm preaching to myself as well as I'm preaching to you guys. Okay? And you know, I'm not a teacher like Brett, I'm a preacher. So you might as well get ready for it. In this 2 Timothy 3:16, by the way, I didn't have all the goodies that, like Perry was at last Sunday. I don't have all the goodies up here, so I'll give you the scriptures. We're going to be going through the scriptures pretty good today. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. So that you may be equipped in every good work. The scriptures are not just for you to share with somebody else for their situation, but they're there for you in your walk. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I had this written down a long time ago. To delight in God is to desire and enjoy his presence in your life. To do this, we need to want to please him and to be obedient to him. We delight in doing his will. Those who delight themselves in God's will have prayers answered and will be protected by the angels. Delight yourself and to do the will of God. The Psalms are there, as we've been sharing, and share with us many things and situations. And I want to read for you from Psalm 73. If you want to turn to that, this is going to be, I'm going to read all of Psalm 73. Turn to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 73. And listen to this. Listen to where this gentleman was. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, as I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They are free from burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace, and they clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceits of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? Always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my pure heart. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Then, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. Surely you place them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel and upward, and afterwards you take me into glory. Whom have I heaven but you? And the earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail. My God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from your will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good for me to be near you, Lord. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Now, there is a perfect example of the scriptures that Psalms that Brett was talking about, the lamenting. This gentleman had his eyes on the things around him. had eyes on other people, other situations. Don't let the outside things take away your focus. But God, in His sovereign mercy, brought this gentleman into the sanctuary of God. And in the sanctuary of God, and in the presence of God, he was able to see clearly those things he needed to see. The blessings of God, the glory of God, the protection of God. Yet you always hold me up, hold me with your right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and after you take me into glory. Yes, there is things all around us we don't understand. They seem to be unjust, unfair. Jesus went through it all. Totally unjust, totally unfair. But he had his eyes focused on what he was to do, go to the cross. He was to make provision for you and I today for salvation because of his sacrifice, his obedience on the cross. Enter the sanctuary of God from time to time. Enter into that relationship with Him. Find time to get alone with God, that He can renew your strength. He can show you again. Oh, this world will take it away from us. It will take it away from us. It so subtly pulls us into situations, so subtly provides excuses for us not to spend time with God. Don't let it happen. I speak to myself as well as I speak to you. We need to hear this from time to time because God is always taking and pulling and tugging at us. But He's a gentleman and He doesn't take and force us into anything. Be thankful what you have. Don't complain about what you don't have. We were reading our morning devotions the other day, and in morning devotions talked about this gentleman that wrote the devotion, said he saw a bumper sticker that said, "Lord, all I want is a little more than what I have." Aren't we that way? We always want a little more than what we have. I can remember when I was in Korea back in the 50s, I was sent there as a cryptographer, code and decode messages, but somehow or another the government got things mixed up, and instead of sending four cryptographers to a company of 120 people, they sent 40 of us there. So needless said, the only 36 of us had to do some other job. My job was a Jeep driver driving messages to the different UN opponents in the area, and we were up at the 38th parallel. And it pretty well was bombed out. There weren't any trees around. Scrub bushes. And my route took me by this little town, if I call it a town, built with GI cardboard. It was always left. Just built with boxes, leftover crates is what I get. And they were doing all right because the kids, 6, 7, 8 year old kids run around and they were having a ball with some hoop they got someplace. They only had a stick and a hoop and a couple little things. That was the every time they played with that all day long. And they didn't know any difference. And I said, "Man, if I don't have my 70-degree temperature in my house and water running with a hot shower and food whenever I want to in the refrigerator, supermarkets right down the street, all these things over there, I complain." You know, we're blessed, folks. God has blessed this nation. Now, I don't know how long, as long as He's going to bless this nation because of all the sin that's going on, but that's okay. We have to pray for what we have. and thank God for it. Where's our focus? Where is your focus? Is your focus on what you want? Focus on what you have. The Apostle Paul was a very focused man. I mean, he was focused. I mean, that man was intense. We first see Paul, he's standing on the side holding the jackets while they stone the Christians. And Stephen said, "Father, forgive them so they don't know what they do." And as he was on, going on a trip, he was knocked down. Knocked down. Blinded. God really had to get his attention. I hope God doesn't have to do that to get my attention. But Paul was an intense man, and God had to get a hold of him. Went into a town, and a gentleman named Ananias was told to pray for him. He says, and Ananias said, "Lord, I know this man. He's out to kill the Christians." And the Lord says, "No, he's my guy. He's my appointed man." Ananias was faithful to do what God told him to do and pray for Paul. He got his sight back, and you know the story from then on. It took a man that had a relationship with God, that was focused on God at a time when somebody needed to be focused, was listening to God's voice, and said, "Go pray for this guy, man, Paul." He's obedient. A very small part in the Bible, but instrumental in Paul's, the apostle's life. You think you have a small part in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you something. God did not invest in you the life of his son Jesus Christ for you to think that you have no asset or you're no asset in the kingdom of God. You are. You are as important to the kingdom of God in God's sight as anybody else. God shed his blood for you, as well as he did for some higher up in the hierarchy. Where's your focus? Do you realize that God loves you? God wants you to be used. He wants you to testify. Oh, I was talking to a gentleman this past week. We took him and his wife to lunch. And he was telling me his testimony. And it blessed me. It blessed me. And he's going to start sharing his testimony one of these days. He's going to share his testimony. He's going to share. Because it will bless people. You have a testimony. You've got something to share with people that will bless you. Bless the people. Bless us. Let us hear what God's doing. Every Wednesday night we start off with, "Anybody, what's going on in your life? What's God done for you?" And I encourage testimonies. I like Paul when he says that he was able to take and be content wherever he was. The story about him being in jail, locked in jail. He was, in a word, says he was praising God. And there was an earthquake. The jail doors opened up. Sure, we know earthquake. We know who's in charge of earthquakes around here, huh? God is. God has his hand on things, you know. And the jailer came down afraid, and Paul said, "No, don't worry about it. We're here." Because Paul knew what was going on. He was a man that was full of just, I just love it. And the jailer's family was saved that night. And then he marched down and got water baptized in the middle of the night. His focus. We have Philip in the desert. The eunuch was riding on, going home. And he was reading the scriptures. And Philip joined him in the chariot. And Philip Yang says, "I don't understand these. I don't understand this." And Philip begins to share with him who this talked about. Jesus Christ. As he began to share, the eunuch realized that he needed to be water baptized, and he says, "What does hinder me to be water baptized? What's hindering me?" And Philip says, "Nothing." So they stopped the chariot. Get this now. In the middle of the desert, had to be a pool of water there for the guy to get water baptized. At the time that he needed that pool of water to be water baptized, it was there. That's God. God will meet you wherever you are needed to be met if you have a heart's desire to meet him. You got a situation that's troubling you? Ask God about it. Ask God about it. Paul always talked about running the race. And even near the end of his time, he was hoping that he ran the race to the fullest extent. Our Lord Jesus is the best example that we can follow. He was always aware of the situations around him. He knew people. He knew situations. Sure, he was God manifested in the Son. But he had a compassion for people. He had a compassion for people. He would cry at the death of his friend. He would go without food because the people needed to be taught. He would do whatever was necessary because God had given him a purpose. But the Jews missed Jesus. They missed him, who he was, because they had their eyes focused on a worldly king. They had their eyes focused on a knight in shining armor that would come on and save them from the Roman Empire. And they totally missed the way that the Savior came because they were not able to focus on it. They were allowed the Pharisees and their doctrinal laws, you might say, keep them from seeing things. Don't allow the old nature within us to control our lives, but let the Spirit of God that dwells within be in control. In Luke 12, it talks the parable of the rich fool. I'm going to start with verse 15. Actually, 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Who appointed me judge or an arbitrator between you?" And then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself.'" Where's your focus? God wants us to lay up treasures in heaven. He wants us to be able to take and Be obedient. The scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. To God, obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm going to Psalm 119 now and read two sections in Psalm 119. I'm going to read again the section that I told Myrtle to read. Listen to this. 119, we studied 119 in our home group. In 119, each section is made up of eight basic verses, and they say almost the same thing over and over again in different ways. But I picked out two of them here. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. Preserve my life in your righteousness. If you notice that Hebrew poetry does not rhyme, it has a rhythm. And you notice the rhythm, the comparative rhythms. But so, as I read this other one here, listen to this here. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Read Psalm 119 one time. It's a long one. But each section is in itself a real gem. And we took 119. It took us many weeks to read through it. But it was a blessing. It was a blessing. So how do I want to close today? I want to close by delighting in God and doing His will. Abide in His precepts and laws, and He will bless you and keep you. Each of us need to find out what God desires of us. Each of us will be different. And you'll find that in your heart, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your most obedient servant, your delightful Son, the one that died for us that we might have eternal life. We might be forgiven of sins. Father, in that precious name, we come to you. And Lord, I ask that I might refocus my life in the areas that I have been short. The Father, I would not allow the things of this world rob me of your presence. That I will not allow the things of this world interfere with my love relationship with you and your love relationship with me. That I might reach out and take your hand as your hand is always extended down to me. That I might lovingly look into your holy face. and receive the words of life. For this day, Lord, is your day. Tomorrow is your day. Each day that you allow us to remain on this earth is your day, Lord. And I pray that I might take advantage of it, that we might take advantage of it every moment of every day, giving you praise and thanksgiving for the joy of knowing you, for the joy of allowing your Holy Spirit to dwell within us. Thanking you, Jesus, for dying on a cross for our sins. Thanking you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us through the Scriptures and revealing unto us the words of life. For you have blessed us, and we thank you for that, Lord. We humbly thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for indulging these words.